Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with me, your radio talk show host, Dr. Beverly L. Swanson. A talk show of real people with real stories, real testimonies that will inspire you and me to moving forward into our breakthrough. So glad to have you today. Now we're going to move forward to inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough with Dr. Beverly L. Swanson.
Again, welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. And yes, I'm Dr. Beverly L. Swanson, and so glad to have each and every one on the air with us this morning. This is a very special time. This is November the 25th of 2015. It is the day before Thanksgiving, and it is an opportunity for us here at Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough to bring forward someone who has a great testimony of Thanksgiving in her heart. I think it's so important during this time when there's so much going on in the world to be able to hear a story of one that has gone through challenges, and in the midst of all of those challenges, they still can say thank you. That's why we're here. That's what this show is about, bringing real people that share real stories of great trials and great faith. And today is no different, except we have a very special guest that we're featuring on the air with us today, Ms. Deborah Walker, Minister Deborah Walker. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what she has gone through. I don't want to waste any time to get started. So, Deborah Walker, a minister of the gospel. On August the 29th of 2005, we were hit in the United States, specifically in New Orleans, with Hurricane Katrina. Some of you remember that? Well, what you don't know is the inside of that and some of the challenges that people went through, only what was aired on the media. Well, Minister Deborah is going to take us inside that event and share with you what happened and how it affected her life then and now. You see, the hurricane that hit in New Orleans was at a Category 5. And she says that her daughters and her left 14 hours, though, before that storm came. She said, we drove to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, which was 2 hours away, and it took us, these were her words, it took us almost 8 hours to arrive at their destination, thinking that they were not going to be affected as much. Hurricane Katrina struck Hattiesburg, Mississippi. She said, we could not leave the house because big trees were in the middle of the street, and some landed on houses. We were stuck in that city for 4 days. There was no electricity, no running water, and we could not use our cell phone, and the temperature was extremely hot. She said it was by God's grace that they made it out, and that she's grateful that they survived, that through the power of prayer and God's faithfulness, that storm could not touch my prayer partner's home. And that was the home that she had driven to. So I would love each and every one in my audience today and those that will be listening in the archives to welcome Ms. Walker. Minister Deborah, are you there?
Yes, I am. And it is a pleasure to be on this radio talk show, Dr. Beverly. And I thank you for the opportunity to allow me to really encourage others in this hour. Whatever they are going through, God has their hands, his hands on them, and they could make it through anything.
Anything. Amen to that. And anything. You know, I'm in total agreement with that. But isn't that why we're here? Is that not our lives, to be able to encourage others that are going through situations, that reminding them all that there still is a God and his love for us is truly everlasting. Now, before we get into preaching, because we can do that very well, if that door is open, I really want them to know what did happen that day. So can you fill us in? What happened? What happened August 29th, 2005? Give us the insight of your heart and all that you experienced. Let's talk about that.
Well, we had made it to my, she was my girlfriend as well as my prayer partner, 7 o'clock Monday morning, Hurricane Katrina hit Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And matter of fact, her garage, like it was breathing in, like it was going to try and cave in. And I told my prayer partner, Penny, I said, Penny, go get the anointing oil right now. So she went and got the anointing oil, and we just laid hands on the garage, and we just began to thank God, and we began to pray in the power of agreement that this storm will pass over. And we anointed each window. We walked through the house praying and just giving God thanks. And I tell you, it was very, very frightening, but at the same time, we knew that God was with us right in the middle of that chaos, in that storm. And after it was over with and we looked outside, there were trees that were all in the middle of the road. People, half their yards and was missing, was blown way across. We don't even know where it went. And trees were on houses. And it got so extremely hot, and we were so grateful that we did fill up the tubs with water so we could at least flush the toilet or have the ability to wash our face. But when it got extremely hot, everyone had to, you know, was cooking stuff on the grill because you still have to eat. And I was praying. I said, Lord, I need a way where I can get in contact with my family, you know, to let them know that we're going to be okay. So day one passed, day two, day three. We didn't even have a radio, so we didn't know what was going on. My daughters kept saying, you know what, I think we need to go ahead on and make an attempt to go back to Louisiana. And finally, the neighbors got together, and one of the things that I learned that, you know, you could put aside all race, all color, creed, because when it's a chaos that comes, I don't care what nationality, what color you are, people will come together. So the neighbors got together, and they were sawing, you know, sawing the trees in half to get them off of the road. And we needed to go to the store, and the lines were like, looked like 2 and 3 blocks long just to get the Walmart, you know. And the gas stations were just extremely long. And I just said, Lord, we have to leave. We got to get out of here. So our anticipation was going back to New Orleans, and I knew I needed to get in contact with my mother and my sister in California. And the next door neighbor, they had a main line number. They had a main line phone. And I remember they came to bring some ice. And I found out that there was a working phone because nobody could not use their cell phone. And when I made that phone call to my mother and my sister, I mean, it was just like a relief with my mother, my family. And when I told them, I said, we're going to head back to New Orleans. And they say, haven't you heard on the news that New Orleans went under? And it was like my heart sank. I'm like, oh, God. So I knew then that we needed to move forward. My neighbors got together. We got a map, and I knew I had to head out here to Sacramento, California. And it took us 3 days, and I didn't think that I was going to ever see my grandchildren anymore because, of course, everybody was scattered, displaced. And on our way coming, it was like God was with us every step of the way. We had not even gotten any sleep because after a hurricane, it normally gets extremely hot. And but God, we took turns driving, and a couple of times we did get sleepy on the road, but I can testify of God's goodness because when we were going to the gas station, people would stop and see my license plate, and they said, were you affected by Hurricane Katrina? And I said, yes, I was. And people were filling my gas tank up for us to make it to California. And I thank God for my brother-in-law because he wired us $500. And we only had just a few clothes that we had brought because we were thinking that we was just going to be gone for a few days and go back home, but it didn't. So our journey, we was just so ever so grateful, but I cried just off and on, just thinking, Lord, you know, I wish I would have, you know, brought the pictures. I wish I would have brought my birth certificate. I wish I would have brought some more clothes, but God wanted us to come just as we were. And when I made it to Sacramento, I felt nothing but the love of God, even in the struggle that I was going through, you know, reuniting with my family. And I lived at Makerfield, me and both my daughters, we stayed at Makerfield. They had a place for us to stay. And that was one of...
I'm going to interject for just a moment. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, we have a studio full, and I want to take a minute to acknowledge each and every one of you that have logged in and called in by phone to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. I'm Dr. Beverly. Thank you so much for joining us and listening to this powerful story of a great trial and great faith of Minister Deborah Walker. For those that have just come on and missed the initial, the beginning of where we got started, Minister Deborah escaped the immediate impact of Hurricane Katrina that was centered in New Orleans. Praise God for his unctioning. We're going to talk a little bit about that and the experiences that she had this experience being displaced from a family, not knowing what has happened to them, not knowing what was going on. So this is a great broadcast of gratitude, of faith, and the mercy of God. So welcome again to the broadcast, God, to have you. Mr. Deborah, I wanted to ask you, you left and you felt the impact still 2 hours away from the center, which was New Orleans. What made you drive? Was there a way with some things? Did you get a warning? Was there a warning signal and a weather? Was it an unction in your spirit? You didn't say. What made you put things in the path and drive away at the right time, at the right moment?
Yes, actually, we've had many hurricanes, and a lot of times when we would come together and pray, Holy Spirit would say, don't go, it's going to blow over. But this particular time, I did not hear God say anything. And I spoke with Apostle Wilson, he was my pastor, and he asked me, he said, daughter, what are you going to do? I said, you know, Apostle, I said, there's a part of me that really want to leave. And I said, then there's another part of me that don't want to face the traffic. And he said, well, just take a few things with you because you never know, you know, if you come back, you know, you may have to leave because if we do have the hurricane, you know, the water is going to be tainted. So just bring a few clothes with you. And I got a phone call from a lot of my family members here in California saying, girl, you better leave, because we did have warning. We had warning. We had a week ample warning about the hurricane. But at that time, I was assistant manager at an apartment complex and preparing the people for the hurricane. I just did not, I just figured that if we just pray about it, and I lived on the upstairs, you know, it'll be okay, you know. But I really did not think, which God did prepare me a little bit, because when I was at work one day, the Lord had me to look up Hurricane Betsy, but I still couldn't make the connection. He was trying to warn me then to get prepared. So
what is
it is so important.
What is Hurricane Betsy? What was that?
Hurricane Betsy back in 1968, that was one of the worstest hurricanes New Orleans had. And I just couldn't put two and two together, because sometimes when we are inundated with things in our life, with work and doing different things with our family, it is so important that we stop and pay attention and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying, because he was trying to warn me then, which was a month before hurricane. But again, getting caught up in work. But God is faithful. He still had his hand on us even while we was on our journey. We could have turned back around, because my daughters wanted us to go back, because they said, well, Mom, we all have our own different places and we can live upstairs. So, but I said, no, we need to move. We need to move forward. And again, I have a mother and a sister that live here in California, and they were encouraging me to come out there to California. So I had a place, you know, my family that was here, and God even had his hand in that, because it was time for us to reunite. God wanted the family to come back together again, but I didn't know it was going to be through Hurricane Katrina.
You know, so, there's a couple of things. You know, it's first of all, Minister Deborah is also the Minister of Prayer at Oasis Church in Rancho Cordova, California. I tell you, this is one woman that doesn't just pray. She prays the word. She lives prayer. She's consistently praying. And I want you to see how prayer, when you are constantly talking with the Father, which is what prayer is, talking with your Father, placing petitions before him. When you live a life of prayer, then you're open to the unctions of the Holy Spirit. That relationship of prayer with the Father is so important, because you're used to his voice. You're used to the unctions of the Holy Spirit. And the life that you live is simply just honoring him and listening to his word. Now, there's a couple of things that happen here. Those unctions try to bring to her attention that there's something different about this storm. The unctions took her 2 hours away from the center of where that storm hit, which was far devastating than where she was. But not only that, because of the prayer and the relationship that Minister Deborah has with the Lord, when she was 2 hours away, this is what she did. She, in the midst of houses where, and correct me if I'm wrong, trees were falling down. Trees were landing on houses, but she and her family anointed the house that they were in, anointed it with oil, which was consecrating. So she consecrated the dwelling that she was in. They prayed as they consecrated the house. Well, so they were marking that house with consecration with the oil. It was symbolic of the blood of Jesus. They praised the Lord God and thanked him for bringing them there, and their faith in this process. No radio, no TV, their family members still in New Orleans look at what the Holy Spirit was able to unction them to do. And what did she tell us? Nothing and no harm came to the dwelling place that they consecrated, that they prayed in agreement, that they praised the Lord, and they stood on in faith. So important to have a prayer relationship with the Father God that knows the end from the beginning.
Yes.
Minister, yes. What family and members left in New Orleans?
I actually had my grandfather, my uncle, I had aunts. I did have family members who were literally caught on the bridge with all that water. I had quite a few family members that were really, really affected, that was right in it, that was in the Superdome area. None of them got killed.
None.
I thank God for that. But they were on the bridge. My aunt, she almost lost her life. But glory to God, God just saved the family. So nobody got hurt. But they did go through the effects of the storm and what everybody had gone through. So, again, God is faithful, because when you come in agreement, you know, you are in covenant with God, with your prayer life. And God will watch over your family. He will protect your family. You know, I don't care what it is, what storm you're in. It might be a spiritual storm. It might be, you know, a trial. It might be tribulations that you're going through. But God is faithful to his people. And really, prayer is just talking with God. I remember, Dr. Beverly, I wept and I cried. I couldn't stop crying when I came here to Sacramento, California for 9 months. I cried because I wanted to be back in New Orleans. But God wanted me here. But the only thing I could do was worship him. I said, Lord, I don't understand what I'm going through, but I worship you anyway. Lord, whatever you need to do in my heart, Lord, I just ask you to heal me. Because, of course, you know, I was going through, you know, a grieving process, you know, and God did. So for like a whole year, I almost slipped into a little depression because I really wanted to be back in New Orleans. But God wanted me here, and I just laid on the altar before the Lord. Every time I would get in my car, I said, Lord, all I could do is worship you. And through that, it would be I would feel the presence of the Lord. Even when I would go to the Christian bookstore, God would send somebody my way and just would minister to me. And then there are times that people didn't know how to minister to me. So it's very important when somebody is going through the storms of life and when you're going through tribulation, it is very important how you minister the word of God to them, because you could hurt them or you can comfort them. So, and I thank God for the experience that I had, because when I see somebody else going through, now I can comfort others just as Christ has comforted me.
And that is the reason that we experience trials and tribulations in our lives. It is not to devastate us, but it's a wonderful, amazing way that the Lord shows us by working with us as we make it through those trials to a victory, that he shows up and shows us that he's still here. He's a living God, and he's our Father. Now,
yes.
I don't want you to mind what she's gone through. She has an incredible strength and obviously a strong prayer and faith life. You have to remember that she was displaced. She left with her money still being there. She left her home or all the stabilities, the furniture, and so forth, just what she could carry in that car and come across the country. And family was still left there. you know, how when you came back here and you were able to see on the news what had happened, because many people were displaced. I was told that some had to go to Texas. The government stepped in. Some had to go, some went to Georgia. Families were displaced all over the United States with the aid of the government. When you were able to look at the news and see the devastation there in New Orleans, tell me, how did that affect you? What was in your heart?
Oh, Dr. Beverly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Dr. Beverly, when we arrived in Oakland, California, because my mom lived in Oakland, California, and I watched the news, all I could do was sit in the middle of the bed and cry. I'm like, oh, God. And at the same time, thanking God that we left, because we mm-hmm. surely could have been in that too as well. Where I lived at, they had to bring boats back there to, you know, to rescue people. And my heart, I said, Lord, oh God, all I could do was weep. And I believe that I was even weeping on their behalf, just the devastation that I saw with the people, you know, dying and you know, with dead bodies and the struggle, you know, everything that they were going through. And in my heart, I didn't know if I was going to see my grandchildren, because the cell phones, mine was working, but my daughter's ex-husband, we still had not, I believe we had finally got in contact with them, and we didn't think we were going to ever see them again. But American Red Cross, you know, thing to it that my grandchildren, you know, that we met, we all came together safely. You know, they flew them out here to California.
Oh, praise
God. Yeah, so God was just faithful even in that, you know. And all I could do through this storm, because I couldn't even really hardly go any place too much, because my heart was just so grieved. And yet in the grieving, I still invited God to come in that grief. I invited him to come in that storm that hit my life, not only physically, but spiritually too. And going through the process of starting all over again, trying to get my birth certificate, and, you know, trying to have to buy clothes all over again. It was just too much. I said, Lord, I'm getting too old for this. But in that, God, I invited him in it. And that's what causes us to triumph in Christ. When we invite him in the storm, when we invite him in the tribulation, because when you're trying to do it yourself, it will drive you crazy. But God walked me through the process, and he connected me with the church, with Oasis Christian Mission Center, and I felt nothing but love. So I want to encourage everyone that whatever you're going through, you might have a loved one that passed away, or someone might be sick or dying. Somebody might be, whatever you're going through, you might have a family member that's in prison, and you like, Lord, where are you? When you invite him in and you just develop that prayer life with him and say, Lord, I don't understand this, but in this I will trust you. And I thank you, Lord. Now, you're not thanking God for the situation, but you're thanking him that he is going to pull you out and cause you to triumph in whatever you are going through. I'm a living witness and a living testimony. It will cause your faith to be strong. It will cause you to be strong
in whatever situation or whatever giant that comes next in your way, because you're going to have testimonies that's going to back you up, because you're going to say, if God brought me out of that and he brought me out of this, surely he's a God that's going to bring me through this. And I'm a living witness, and God is no respecter of person. And whether you're old, whether you're young, or whether you're a little person, God, he loves all. And it's through thanksgiving that he causes his grace to abound in each and every one of our lives. Because when we shut up our mouth, it blocks what God wants to do. But when you thank him, and when you read throughout Psalms, and when David, that's all David could do, whatever David went through, he was always thanking God. When you thank God with thanksgiving, you causes God's grace to abound in you, and you're enlarging the tent in your heart. You're making room for him to come in and move in your life and through your life. So it no longer become me, myself, I. It no longer become it's all about me, because it's not about me. It's about what God want to do in us and through us, because we are facing a lost, dying world, and they need the Jesus that you have in you to comfort others and to compel them to come out.
Absolutely. And for those that are on the line today, there's one thing that Minister DeVore said that was very impressive to me, and I want each and every one to remember this. She said, in the midst of the chaos, people came together to help each other. It didn't matter what race they were, or religion they were. Backgrounds didn't matter, rich or poor. They came together to help each other because there was a crisis, and the chaos brought people together. So here's what I want you to remember. In the midst of every storm, and there's catastrophic damage and storms all over the world, and if you haven't experienced one, keep living, because life on chaos at times. But this is the hour where we truly need to stop judging each other. It really doesn't matter what race we are. Does it really matter who or what it is that we work, where we work, or how much money that we have? Does that really matter? Because in the crisis, we need each other. But I tell you what does matter, ladies and gentlemen. It matters that we know who our God is and what he is capable of doing. Because in the midst of the storm, as she said, it was her faith that brought her through. She experiences grief, she said, and she experienced depression. But she said in the midst of her grief, she continued to worship him. We cannot just worship him when we are doing well. We truly need to worship him when we have nothing left, and that's all he has. All we have is him. So this is what I want you to get from her testimony. She said that she has a prayer life, and it's prayer that brought her through. It was her relationship with her father that gave her the wisdom to even fill up the tub with water, because there would not be water. She didn't know that. She knows what comes with hurricanes and storms, but he gave her specific instructions because of her relationship. Now, for those that are on the air, that they're saying, how do I do that? How do I pray like that where all that will happen to me? What can I say? Remember what Minister DeBoer said again. It's just a conversation. Prayer is just a conversation with our Father. It really isn't complicated. start by saying thank you and telling him how much you are appreciative that he is our Father. And the more you talk with him, the greater the relationship will be with him. You'll find that it's easy to talk with him all day long because he's not only your Father, he knows the end of our lives. He knew it from the very beginning. Remember that he is not just the creator of our lives, but he has the master blueprint for our lives. Who else better for us to talk to? Minister, can you leave our audience with one more nugget of wisdom that they can take with them tomorrow when they're with their family and their friends giving thanks to the Lord?
Yes. When you were speaking, because there's been so many things that I encountered because I really didn't want to be here in California. And I'm a people person. You know, I like to talk to people. So whether I'm in a grocery store and I hold a conversation with people, you know, God would send people to encourage me and say, you know what? God sent you here to California because we need some of that Louisiana hospitality. We need some of that love, you know. And I begin to look at it in a different point of view. I begin to see it the way God saw it. You know, he gave me just a quick little vision of, I want you, whatever state you're in, to be thankful, to have a gratitude in your heart, because you better believe that God is speaking in whatever you're in right now. And we have to open our heart and say, Lord, what is it that I am to learn from this? And where do you want to take me with this? Because you better believe that God want to get the glory out of it. Now, he don't get glory out of sickness. But when you give thanks and glory and honor to him, what you're doing now is you're releasing heaven on earth. You're releasing the glory of God for him to move in your situation. So remember, when you have a heart of ungratefulness and not want to thank God because you're like, oh, I'm going to thank God after I come through, wrong attitude. Begin to thank God even in the midst of what you're going through, because this is an opportunity for God to show up and show out. I encourage you to read 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Because when you exalt his name and you give thanks and glory and honor to him, you are releasing God's angelic forces to move on your behalf. And I'm telling you, when he come in and expand in your heart his love, his joy, his peace, you're going to affect everyone around you. So just know that whether this storm, whether this trial, this tribulation, whether you're in the fire, he say he is with you. Acknowledge it. Even if you don't, if you say that, oh, I don't have no testimony, begin to thank him for waking you up this morning. Yes. Begin to thank him that you have arms and limbs and you are mobile. Begin to go. I challenge you to even go to the park. Look at the trees. Look at the sky. Look at the stars. Look at creation and know that your heavenly Father created all that for you. And when you have that in your heart and say, Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
You are embracing the kingdom of God.
Okay, we have just a few seconds left, and I want to interject because I want to make sure they have at least an email address of you. If they want to send you an email, how can they do that? Can you share that with them?
Yes, my email address is de.borahwalker@aol.com. And again, that's de.borahwalker@aol.com.
There we go. So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is Dr. Beverly Swanson at Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. Thank you so much for joining us on a broadcast with our special Thanksgiving broadcast of great thanks. I want to thank Minister Deborah Walker for taking the time to speak with our audience, and I'm wishing you a wonderful Thanksgiving, each and every one on the air with us, and a special Thanksgiving to you, Minister Deborah.
Oh, and you too, Dr. Beverly. Mighty woman of God, I just thank God for you. Thank God for you. And may you continually increase. Amen.
Well, I receive that. Amen. Thank you for that. I receive that wholeheartedly. And each and every one, we'll see you next week on the air on Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. If you are having a challenge and you need someone to talk to, take a look at my website. It's drbeverlylswanson.com. There's some things in there that it may be of help and of interest to you. Know that I love you more, and I look forward to being on the air with you once again next week. That's drbeverlylswanson@gmail.com is my email address, and drbeverlylswanson.com for the website. Have an amazing Thanksgiving. Remember, He gets all the glory and all the praise in everything that we do. Blessings to you all. Bye now.
Amen.